Hello and welcome to Radio Clash. This is the second part of the River Songs. This is To the Sea. Oh yes, yes, my hearties, To the Sea. Arr, yarr.
Thank you. come ashore, bringing all their fish. We shall have a feast from a plentiful dish on the coast, on the coast. This is where I was born, this is where I was raised, on the coast, on the coast.
Shipless oceans, I did all my best to smile, till your singing eyes and fingers drew me loving to your eyes. And you sang, sail to me, sail to me, let me enfold you. Here I boat is leaning, broken love on your rocks. For you sing, touch me not, touch me not, come back to sorrow. I'm as puzzled as the newborn child. I'm as riddled at the tide. Should I stand amid the breakers, or should I lie with death my bride? Hear me sing, swim to me.
Thank you. say, I say, I say. Crying in my heart that never will be still, like the voice of a
but trip me to the bay and put me on a ship and lower me down, lower me out of here. 'Cause when I was seven, I wanted to live in a bathysphere.
That's the excellent Smog, or should I say, open bracket, Smog, close bracket, with Bathysphere. Then before that was The Cry of Man. Oh, and Bathysphere always reminds me of A Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou, who was such a... that was almost wank material for me. Anyway. Let's just say Bill Murray with a beard is very, very nice. I don't understand why he doesn't actually have a beard more often. He looks really good with a white beard. Then before that was The Cry of Man from Mary Margaret O'Hara. That's from the Rogues Gallery CD that I played some tracks from before. Then before that was Sea Breezes, or most of Sea Breezes by Roxy Music. Before I guess really sort of wee-outy. I mean, that selection was a little bit like pushing into my barriers of kind of anti-prog wankiness, which kind of has some really good tunes, but it's kind of, they start messing around in that annoying improv jazz way, and I'm thinking, I'm getting really close to the next button. Then before that was Sealand, Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark from the Architecture Morality album. No, that's not what gave Negative Land their record label name. That was the Noi track, Sealand, with two E's. I'm sure there's inspiration there from Noi, though. Then before that, a link to Krautrock there was Robert Wyatt, ex of Soft Machine, with his Sea Song, which is from his second solo LP, Rock Bottom. Then before that was the Czars, with Song to the Siren, which I have played before over a year ago with my one of my Scotland shows, but it's worthy of playing again. And I listened to the Tim Buckley version, and I know it's Tim Buckley's song. I know that inspired a rave track even. I know that Tim Buckley wrote it, and it's a brilliant song. I just can't stand his voice. It's a bit like Jeff Buckley. Tim Buckley, Jeff Buckley, Nick Drake. I just cannot stand their voices. There was a Nick Drake song which called River Man, which I could have played. But again, Nick Drake's voice so puts me off. And then before that, did you guess who that was? Did you know who that was? It's a song called On the Coast. I'm tempted not to tell you and say, open the phone lines, except there's no phone and this is not live, but to say who it is. Did you guess who that was? That was the Who Boys. Exactly. That was the Who Boys doing their folk thing, and a beautiful track, and nothing like they've heard from them before. And of course, Mark likes his folk, and I think they should do more of that. It's very good. Well, I was going to do I will do a rant. I've not done a rant for ages. Hey, this is not river themed, although I'd like them to jump in a river, preferably a deep river, covered in ice. It's about the IFPI. They've declared a fatwa against downloaders again. People who download via peer-to-peer and torrent. But before they were said, oh, we're going to go after the uploaders or the sites, and they've just closed down Oink. A site that, private torrent site, wasn't really anything I was into. So I didn't make a big thing about it, although I was tempted at the time. I heard people, like all private trackers, there's kind of a slightly high school cliquey thing about it. I don't know if I was, it was invite only, and I think I was denied either Oink or something else. It was a bit like, I hate invite only things. But it was a bit, and friends, people I know who used it, so it was a bit kind of like, that's a bit sad. But now they're going after everyone across the world. And this is sheer arrogance of it. I mean, it's the BBC Radio 6 today had a thing on the Music Week where they actually asked people to vote on whether it should be made illegal. And 79% of their listenership, surprise, surprise, said no. And apparently 43%, I don't know where they got this figure from, of people in the UK are downloading illegally. So what people were saying was that they're using it to preview tracks, and it's a bit like the Radiohead in Rainbows, where you could download it for nothing. I would say a lot of those fans, if they really like the album, will probably go and buy it when it comes out on CD. And I mean, it's one of these things that I think that's how I use it as well. I tend to preview stuff, and if I really like it, I will buy it. It's too long the record industry has abused and used its listenership and tried to squeeze as much money out of them. I mean, it's quite unusual compared to, like, say, art galleries or museums or, you know, even, I mean, the film industry is the closest match probably. But there's a lot of the cultural industries where they wouldn't dare to do the kind of the stuff they've been doing. We'll try and sell you the same thing again and again and again with no extras. I mean, it's not like the music, at least the film industry will do it on DVD, but they'll do extras to try and make you buy it or do a director's cut or something. Generally, albums, apart from maybe a bonus track, don't seem to add anything. A lot of the stuff doesn't actually get, a lot of the money doesn't really filter down to the artists. So of course the artists who are on this BBC Music Week Radio 6 show were saying, actually, we don't really care, you know, if you really want it, we would like to get paid. But people like Block Party and Black Rebel Motorcycle Club were saying, well, you know, we want to get paid, but if the fans want it, then go for it. We'd much rather have the our music to be heard, and it's great that music leaks, because then we don't play shows and nobody knows the words and everyone's like, what's this? And I've been to shows and people playing totally new stuff, and you know that they're singing along because they haven't heard it yet, but they've heard it because they've downloaded it. But if a lot of the true fans, or really hardcore fans, will go and buy it, and I think the Radiohead model will be the way, where people sort of buy it straight from the people, rather than straight from the artist, rather than through a record company. I noticed at Shut Up and Dance, if you go to Shut Up and Dance website, you can buy a lot of their back catalogue on MP3 directly from them, and I will do so. It's a shame they're not offering everything, but they're offering a lot of their stuff on MP3 straight from them, and that's great. You know, I'd much rather buy straight from the artist rather than through a record label who spends all of its money on cocaine and bribing DJs to buy their tracks, which is what they mostly do. And the other funny thing about the IFPI, which I think is the reason for this little storm it's having at the moment, is that just about a week before they lost their domain, ifpi.com, they lost it to Pirate Bay. So it now stands for, he says, reading from it, International Federation of Pirate Interests. Oh, good one. So obviously they're really pissed off, so they're on a bit of rampage. And if you go to the real IFPI website, they have the delights on their website of, they've got little record covers of Rude Box by Robbie Williams, James Blunt, who else? Nelly Furtado, Linkin Park, Amy Winehouse. All right, she is quite good, apart from the fact that she's getting drunk and doing really crap shows. Akon, Avril Lasagna. I mean, it's kind of like a good indication of why people like the BPI, the RIAA, and the IFPI are terrible, is because they push the shittiest music. There's no innovation there. And also, they also always claim to be in the music interests of everyone, and they're not, as you probably heard from Glenn of Open Rights Group before, saying about what happened. A lot of the independent record companies, they claim to talk for the interests of everyone, but they don't, because there's a lot of people who are Podsafe, a lot of people who are independent record companies, a lot of people run their own record companies, who are a lot of people just on MySpace, a lot of people selling directly, who won't have anything to do with them. But they always claim, oh, piracy, and they always lump everybody's stuff into there. And I wish there was a switch, you could switch on peer-to-peer and say, just nothing that's RIA, nothing that's IFPI, nothing that's... I know you can use RIA monitor, but, you know, I'm not even going to download this shit, you know. Or I can download only this shit and buy the independent stuff, which is what I try and do. I try to avoid the mega commercial stuff, mostly because it's shit. But if it's not shit, it's a bit like, well, you know, I don't really want to give them the money. I'd much rather go on tour, you know, not me going on tour, I'd much rather go and see the tour, or I'd much rather go and buy T-shirts and revenue that will get back to the artist immediately. So I like this idea of actually buying directly from the artist, even though I've heard the Radiohead album and it sounds like whiny crap. But that's Radiohead for you, and that's not necessarily indicative of the actual technology being wrong. But it's funny that IFPI are just doing this going after people direct, and rather than uploaders, they seem to be going after everyone. They failed. They just ignored the internet when Napster came along. They really weren't interested. And it's even now only the Beatles apparently going to be on Apple on download next year. It's taken most of these big fat bosses and established stars, most of them, ages, but whereas actually a lot of people have built their careers from getting exposure on peer-to-peer. I'm pretty sure Peaches built her career through that, and quite a lot of the indie bands. And it's interesting, Mark Ronson said about finding tracks on peer-to-peer, because a lot of stuff isn't available as well. That's what annoys me. They always go, oh, you can legally download this. Actually, no, you can't. A lot of stuff is deleted, a lot of stuff isn't available, a lot of stuff is only available on promo, which, you know, like 200 copies on white label, which, unless you are licking the arse of some A&R, you will not get. So,
it's kind of a, and I've mentioned before about whole white labels and how it's just contradictory. So yes, just like my label, I might write a post on Radio Clash about this, but as my label says, where the tape, you know, the home taping is killing music, crossbones, the music industry is killing music, and don't do it, kids. Just ignore them. Don't buy from them. They're just evil. And what most evil is these organisations that pretend to be speaking for all the record companies, which I don't think they are. The RIAA was cut out, actually speaking, pretending to speak for a lot of record companies, which are like Sub Pop, which then turned around and said, we're not members of you. You know, we are, you know, and they actually were taken off the RIAA monitor. Quite a lot of independent record companies have done that. It's like they're saying, you know, yeah, we used to be part of Warner's, but not anymore. So it's interesting. There is certainly in the independent sector, a lot of people just don't want to know about the RIAA and BPI and these sort of industry fat cats. So anyway, enough of my rant. That's probably going to get me into trouble. So it's the end of the show. I hope you enjoyed this sort of aquatic journey from Lake River to sea. So I'm going to play out with the track I think that probably inspired this and made me think of this kind of river line of thinking many years ago, from Automatic from the People. It's Find the River by REM. And as you probably realise, a lot of these river songs, like the Super for Animals, end up at the end of sides of records or end of records, because talking about rivers seems to be a kind of an end of record thing. So it's appropriate for me to end with Find the River. And I actually looked for river poets, because I thought river poets actually existed. I mean, I hope someone tell me if they did, because it was like, when he says search for river poet naivete, I was a bit like, I was expecting river poets to actually exist, but that seems to be a bit of his own word smithery going on, because I assume that there's probably a loads of poets along the Mississippi River or something. There's music, but unless he's talking about the blues singers, I don't know. But anyway, I'll speak to you soon.
Chase the rock, the river, just to the tide, falling. going my